Welcome to our podcast. My name's Kara.
My name's Rachel.
My name is Morgan.
In this episode, we're going to talk about the economic principles that the influencer industry creates through their relationships with sponsors and their audience. The main components of advertising campaigns on social media are the ways that producers and consumers interact economically and how sponsors interact with producers economically. The first interactive relationship, producers and consumers, by which we mean influencers and their viewers, is measured using engagement algorithms. These algorithms, depending on the platform, create a number based on the extent to which viewers are interacting with content. For example, an Instagram post will take into account the number of likes, comments, and views if it's a video, and convert that into an engagement score, which is congruent with the influencer's amount of influence in the world. As far as sponsors are concerned. This directly correlates to how much money influencers make as well. As their engagement score goes up, the more money sponsors are willing to give them per view of an ad or per post. And also, if an influencer has high engagement, more sponsors will be interested in creating business partnerships with them.
Today, it is definitely noticeable that we are constantly inundated with advertisements. Influencers are an example of these covert advertisements that provoke emotion or desires in us to make us want products that we may not even need. Some companies have gone so far as to create artificial intelligence robots online that resemble real people, and they gain millions of followers worldwide. An example of this is Little Myquella on Instagram. It makes sense in this new epoch of capitalism because sponsors do not need to pay robots to market their products like they do actual people with influencers. This relates to the network society theory, where Castells posits that a new economy has formed which we might call information capitalism. It produces further divisions in global society because once again it delineates between the haves and the have-nots, but from a new technological standpoint. Castells also states that human communication facilitates these tailored marketing strategies that are part of information capitalism, which then replaces the global village with customized cottages, globally produced and locally distributed. Finally, it seems like pretty much anything is fair game in this international informational capitalism, even creating realistic robots to market products or culture. In Chapter 3 of Global Cities, Sasson reminds us that all of this information technology is so new that it is difficult to regulate, because the state does not necessarily have the jurisdiction to preside over matters on the digital sphere yet, so corporations have free range to do pretty much whatever they want to make money.
Speaking of state regulation of advertisements, historically the state has been more involved in television commercials and what they can and cannot advertise about. But recently a new regulation was put into effect where posts on social media that are paid advertisements have to be marked as such by putting a hashtag ad on whatever the post may be. So there has been an uptick in the state paying attention to advertisements on social media.
In addition to the state's attentive nature of social media platforms, are holding social media influencers accountable for their posts rather than having false advertisements on as content for their followers. Okay. On the topic of social media influencers, they have, as we said in the previous episode, they have impacted the economy in terms of the job market, as social media as a job has become a commodity within the economy for larger corporations, as it has such a great global impact. Influencers as a whole are starting to blur the lines of work and life. It is completely present in today's society with the rise of digital platforms. We look at YouTubers who vlog their daily lives, which turns into their work, and thus their income. Similarly to the independent contractor sector, we we can see that the appeal to job seekers of being their own boss has become quite popular. For example, the appeal to Uber and Lyft drivers is that they are the ones who chooses when and where they would want to provide their driving services, making it an entrepreneurial experience. Using their cars at a personal aspect, which blurs that line a little bit between work and life balance by maintaining both at the same time. Similar to the reading and discussion of Driscoll, the berry company that produces strawberries, the conversation between the larger corporation and local farmers in hopes to convince them to become independent but also contracted farmers to the company is similar to the idea of being your own boss, as those local farmers would have control and have workers. However, within the article, we saw that a lot of the farmers realized it was exploiting their own laborers, which goes back to the morality and ethics of their own values. Going back to the attractive feature of becoming your own boss and doing things on your own time has become all the rage nowadays across every industry and almost every platform. Can you guys give me some examples that you guys see today?
So one of the examples of this that I think is really interesting is the family and lifestyle vloggers, because while it's empowering that they can sort of make money on their own time or how they want to via not only making videos but also doing like those covert advertisements in their videos, it's also kind of negative because then every moment with their family actually just becomes like a money-making opportunity.
Another example is beauty gurus on YouTube who advertise for makeup brands and are very much a part of the beauty industry nowadays. Makeup companies or other companies in the beauty industry will seek out beauty gurus in order to advertise their products. And it all works
symbiotically.
Yes. And it all works symbiotically. Okay. All right. Thank you all for listening. And tune in next time when we'll be talking about homogenization of culture.